and 6 this evening. I thought I would go ahead on this series on spiritual warfare and continue with this last piece of armor in the armor of the Christian, this armor of God, the armor of all prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Let us hear God's word through Paul. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all or with all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray again. We come to you, Father, tonight as we look to the supper that our Lord has given us. But in looking at the supper, we have to understand that he fought a spiritual battle to win the day with the world and the flesh and the devil. And it appeared that upon the cross, at least to the world's eyes, that they had won the day. But thanks to your power and the work of the Holy Spirit causing our Lord to rise from the dead, we come now to this table knowing that the battle, the war, has been accomplished and that there is a final victory for the kingdom of God. In the meantime, we fight a daily battle against our foes, remaining sin, Satan, unbelief. And we ask that you would strengthen us for that battle, knowing that because of his resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven, we are just now in the time when all of his enemies are being made a footstool for his feet, so that we go forth not with hopelessness or an uncertain end, but knowing that he is risen from the dead, that at the proper time all things shall be consummated and made plain. And so we ask that you would help us to live by faith and not by sight, to be strong in the Lord and the strength of your might, that we would take up the full armor of God, each piece put on, so that we may have confidence and hope that we also shall win the day in our individual lives and spiritual warfare. Help us to believe that Jesus Christ has already ascended to glory and received a kingdom and is sitting at the right hand of power even now, ruling and reigning in this universe, making war with the sword of his mouth and winning the day, so that we ourselves may persevere to the end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'll probably finish this evening this series on spiritual warfare. There are many other things we could consider in this series, but I'd like to finish our study of all prayer in verse 18 tonight. We are in a spiritual battle. To those who may not know that, I would just have to say you're either very blessed by God or you're unaware of it. Because the teaching of the Bible is that we are all Christians in a spiritual warfare. And the more we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, the more we take up a course of Scripture, there will be greater consequences. For Paul said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It is a prophecy and a promise. We are not to seek persecution. We are to seek godliness, but we should expect trial. We should expect spiritual warfare. We should expect opposition from the world, from our own flesh, and from the devil. As we seek to carve out in our lives a representation to other men and women and children of what it means to know God, to live as a citizen of His kingdom while we walk in the wilderness of this world. Now, Paul tells us in verse 10 of this chapter that we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to remember that the strength comes from God. We have to be willing to say, I am weak, but you are strong. And those who will not do that are the very ones who will find themselves falling in the battle. It is those who know that in themselves they have little strength, who cast themselves upon God for help, who are continually humbled and dependent Christians. And we're called to be that. And he tells us, put on the full armor of God in verse 11, not a piece here, a piece there. You can put on the entire armor of God in this passage except this last piece, and you will lose the battle. Put on the gospel armor we sing in one of our hymns. Each piece put on with prayer. We are called to pray at all times in verse 18, in the Spirit, with all prayer and petition and perseverance for all the saints. Now, certainly we are to pray for ourselves with all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit. We are to pray concerning the situation and needs of our own soul and our own life. We are called by our Lord to pray. Pray like this, he said, our Father who art in heaven. And he said, give us this day our daily bread. And he said, pray like this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We are to pray for ourselves, that we will be faithful to Christ and that Satan himself will desist from his temptations and trials. And we're called to resist the devil, knowing that in the end he shall flee from us. And we're to pray at all times, not just when we get out of bed in the morning or before we go to school or go to work or before we go to church. In verse 18, we're to pray at all times. It may be difficult or impossible for us to be in a conscious framework of framing verbal prayers in our mind or with our mouth at all times. But we are called to be in constant communication with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as we walk through the day. Consciously living in the presence of God, knowing that He sees us and we see Him by faith. He hears us and we hear Him by His words in the Scripture. Thinking from a Christian perspective, not turning it off so we can get this task done, but constantly living before the presence of God as a child plays in the middle of the room under his father's gaze and knows Daddy is always watching me. He is here and he is pleased with me. Prayer at all times, with all perseverance and all petition for all the saints. Look at all the alls in verse 18. Paul's trying to say something here. This is a pretty important piece of armor. And you can put on the whole armor of God and say that you believe by faith in Jesus' perfect righteousness to cover your heart as a breastplate, and that you believe in the gospel of peace, that you're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe every word in the Bible, and take up the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take the helmet of salvation and put it on your head. But if you leave prayer untaken, an unused piece of armor, you cannot win the day. There is one particular issue in verse 18. We're not going to spend time with what all prayer means at all times, for all things, with all perseverance. But I want to emphasize one particular area. The nature of this prayer and the manner of this prayer. Pray at all times, watching with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. The first lesson from this piece of armor that I'd like us to see tonight is that it is talking about unselfish prayers. Unselfish prayers. We are, as I said, to pray for ourselves because the Lord's Prayer tells us to. But Paul said that the kingdom of God and spiritual warfare is wider than our own life and our own backyard. Christ and Satan are at war, and we are not the only ones. Ourselves are not the only ones in this battle. Your brother or sister in Christ may be going through some spiritual warfare that you have no idea of its intensity and power. Just getting through the day. One day to the next. Holding on. Resisting temptation. Controlling anger and bitterness. Living in a situation that may be very provoking to sin. Working in a situation with an unjust or inconsistent employer or boss or master. Tempted often to anger. Accused sometimes falsely. Yet getting through the day. We are not the only ones. We ourselves are not the only ones in spiritual warfare. If you really knew what was sometimes going on in the mind and hearts of each other, it might surprise you. That Christian that you see that appears to have everything together and you wish you could be like in every way may look like that and act like that after a very long and tiring battle with self and sin. Every Christian, there is a camaraderie of the cross. We all fight the same enemies. We all fight the world. We all fight the flesh. We all fight the devil. We all have the same armor. We are all part of the same conflict. We have the same master. We have the same captain. We all face similar trials and temptations to the point that Paul was able to say to Christians, there is no temptation which has overtaken you but such as common to man. Somebody has gone through whatever you are going through. Somebody has faced what you are facing. Somebody has felt what you are feeling. Somebody has thought what you are thinking. It is not exclusive to you. You are not that special. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that you have who have gone through or are going through or will go through the same spiritual warfare as you, needing the same armor as you to win. Temptations, doubts, fears, worries, sin struggles. Christians tend to sit around thinking, others do not have the same struggles as I do, or surely no one thinks like I think or feels like I feel. But actually, the Bible teaches that we all do know that others have gone through what we're going through. And there is a common ground in the experiences that we have that teach us how to pray for others. Well, you might say, well, the things I pray about for myself, I would never pray for others because surely they don't go through what I go through. Not so. The Bible teaches this. Paul prayed for others in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. In other words, Paul prayed that other Christians would understand the riches and treasures and blessings of the gospel of Christ and how much God has blessed us and what good gifts and kindnesses he has showered upon us so that we'll be encouraged in the faith and that we will know how strong God is for us and not be afraid of whatever is against us. In Ephesians chapter 3, he prayed in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. He did not just pray that for himself. He prayed it for other Christians. He prayed it for the Ephesians. He's an example for us to take on the piece of armor called all prayer and pray with perseverance at all times for all the saints. We are to pray for each other. Our prayer times are not to be filled all the time with prayers for self. God, strengthen my faith. Send your Holy Spirit in my inner man and strengthen my faith that I may see the love of Christ and understand and know the love of Christ more deeply, more broadly, that I may think of him better and more, but for each other, for our wives, for our children, for our brethren in the church, for Christians around the world. Prayer, the piece of armor called all prayer, has to be taken up. It has to be reached out as one takes the sword in hand. So all prayer must be taken and brought to the heart and used as one uses a weapon, praying for others. This unselfish prayer life is a mark of a Christian. It is an absolutely essential piece of armor. And it does something really remarkable. It gets the attention off of self and self-fulfillment and self-pleasure and morbid introspection and anxiety and worry over one's own condition to the point that one is immobilized, unable to function as a Christian. It takes attention off of self-importance, reflecting on what others do or do not do for oneself. Paul said, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." Do not look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Unselfishness in secret prayer will produce an unselfish, loving, sacrificial spirit in life. A prayer life that is spent on self will produce a selfish, self-centered, dissatisfied, discontented Christian life. But a life that has been spent upon Christ and others no longer focuses upon oneself. How much time do you spend in prayer for yourself versus praying for others? It may not be measured so much by time, but that's a place to begin. Are you so committed to analyzing the needs of others as you are to analyzing your own needs before God? Or is it more so for others? Jesus gave a promise to those who would dedicate their life to self-denial. And he said, "He that would save his life shall lose it. But he that would lose his life for my sake shall find it." The world says it is more blessed to receive than to give. Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. To spend your life on others instead of yourself. And certainly in the area of prayer, the piece of armor called all prayer is especially described in Scripture in this way: "Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." This kind of praying does not come easily because we tend to look at life and how others and situations affect us. That is called sinful nature. And even as Christians, where we have turned to Jesus Christ for salvation and for help and the renewal of our hearts and the changing of our disposition and our attitudes and our nature, to follow after love and kindness and forgiveness and charity and patience and goodness and gentleness and self-control and all of these things that are characteristic of God Himself, and it's to be characteristic of us. In following after those things, we still have to admit, because the Scripture so says, that sin remains in each of us. And at its very basic root, it's self-centeredness. Looking at life from how it affects us. Looking at others and how they affect us. Even using the gift of prayer that God has given us, more for us than for others. God has given us specific instructions. In fact, it's not an option, but it is a command. Take up the full armor of God. One of the strongest pieces of armor that the Christian has to help him win the day against Satan and sin is not to pray only for himself, but especially for others. It keeps things in perspective. It makes us look away from self to God. It makes us realize that we're not the only ones who go through trial. We're not the only ones who need help. It tells us that we're all in this together as God's people. And produces a sense of dependency upon others for their prayers for us that we would never have if we only pray for ourselves. Take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert. Watch, pay attention, lift up your eyes to others. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Look around, lift up your head, notice what's happening. Notice to whom it's happening and pray. Our Lord died upon the tree to open the gates of heaven to us. But it has been a mark in the New Testament and in church history that those who have come to appreciate His prayers for them, His atonement for them, His life for their life, these people are marked by a life that is given for Him and for others. Because having partaken of such grace and self-denial and sacrifice on His part for them, they have come to see what a treasure it is to be like Him, to give your life that others may live. And prayer is just another way that we do it. We come to the Lord's Supper, remembering His death upon the cross, remembering that He failed not to pray for us. And we need to remember, as we come to the supper, we're to pray for each other. Let us pray. We ask, Father, that as we come now tonight and remember that our Lord did enter into the warfare and was crucified upon the tree, spilling His own blood for our sins, appearing for the moment to have lost the battle. We look at this table and remind ourselves that he is not here because he is risen from the dead, that he has ascended into heaven, and that through his death he accomplished our life. He gave himself that we might live. He did everything for us that we might be benefited. Having come to such a reservoir of grace and kindness and mercy, knowing that he has not ceased to pray for us since he has ascended into heaven even now, we ask that you would help us to take up the full armor of God and be a people of prayer, a truly revived people who have dedicated our lives to the good of others, that they may find in Christ Jesus their joy. And in the process of so dedicating our lives, we ask that you would bless us and help us to find the joy of giving and the confidence that we have a God who can keep us from falling. Help us not to be selfish in prayer, but unselfish and self-denying and benevolent toward the needs of others with our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.